Improving mental and physical health through an integrative health and health literacy program at the Canyon Ranch Institute Life Enhancement Program. This is a collaboration between several organizations, the Canyon Ranch Institute Life Enhancement Program, the Urban Health Plan in Bronx, New York, the Sullivan County Memorial Hospital in Milan, Missouri, the Department of Public Health and Research in the Cleveland Clinic in Cleveland, Ohio, and the El Rio Community Health Center in Tucson, Arizona. So I want to introduce Chuck Palm. He's the Life Enhancement Program Manager at the Canyon Ranch Institute. Chuck has over 20, where's Chuck? Maybe,
sorry.
Yeah, they're going to come up here. You can come up here now or wait. Chuck has over 20 years of experience in community mobilization and planning, including wellness and prevention efforts with tribal communities and communities within American Samoa and the Republic of the Marshall Islands. In his position at the Canyon Ranch Institute, Chuck provides integrative health and health literacy wellness programming to underserved populations across the United States, including the South Bronx, rural Missouri, Cleveland, Ohio, and Tucson. Jennifer McCabe. Jennifer has spent over 20 years in positions dedicated to improving community health and wellness. An award-winning writer and editor, Jennifer is executive director and board member for the Canyon Ranch Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit public charity that collaborates with partners to help educate, inspire, and empower every person to prevent disease and choose a life of wellness. Jennifer was formerly communications director for the Office of the U.S. Surgeon General at the National Institutes of Health. So we have a very powerful team coming up. Coming up and join us now. Do you want both want to come up here? Or?
I'll sit down.
Well, I have to admit, it felt very good to stand up. If any of you would like to stand up and do a stretch and a shakeout, maybe this is the time to do it. Thank you, friend, in the back row there. I always read these recommendations that it's not good to sit for more than somewhere. We're all different, so between 20 minutes and 2 hours, which is a word to the wise for anybody who came in on an airplane, as we did in the past couple of days, or even drove across town, I suppose, in San Francisco. So thank you, Margie. You're doing a terrific job moderating this. So far, you're the best moderator I've ever seen at APHA.
Bravo!
I'm not kidding. So we're going to start with our hypothesis here, and of course we're going to do a little bit more of a deep dive into the categories that you see listed on this slide. But what we are doing is using the best practices of health literacy. And raise your hand if you're familiar with that term. Okay, so terrific. Gosh, when we would ask that 5 years ago at APHA, we'd get maybe 10% of people in the room saying that they were familiar with the term. Now, how many people are using health literacy in your work in some way? Okay, all right. So we're still at about 10% of the room. It's the no-do gap, right? So integrative health, and this is we're going to define this a little bit more as we go into the talk, but this is an absolute tenet of our Canyon Ranch Institute, both health literacy, which we use as essentially our coin of the realm in order to improve prevention using the integrative health approach to eliminate health disparities. And who is familiar with the term integrative health? I would suppose everybody. We've all got our different definitions, I'm sure. And then what about using it in your work? Okay, about 10%. So the Life Enhancement Program is our community-based approach. When we combine health literacy, integrative health, and our community-based approach, we end up with these improvements in mental and physical health outcomes that we're going to discuss today. So health literacy, the definition that we use at the Canyon Ranch Institute is the definition that was established some years ago via the Calgary Charter on Health Literacy. And those five components of finding, understanding, evaluating, communicating, and using information to make informed decisions about your health and your family's health are all embedded in the work that we do through this Life Enhancement Program. We use a multitude of contexts in the Life Enhancement Program, working with health professionals, talking about home life, and also going into the other contexts that we are really seeing have an impact because it's about people's real lives. So places like grocery stores, and also ties in with spirituality, which in the program we call sense of purpose, which was mentioned, I think, in Melanie's discussion, talking about sense of purpose there in Hennepin County and the perceptions there. So with integrative health, we talk about the mind, body, spirit, emotion, all the connectivity that bring you together to wellness. And this is Chuck's lovely diagram. I'm never going to be able to explain it.
I'm sorry.
No, it's beautiful. I'm never going to be able to explain it as well as he does. But it's this whole idea of bringing together all aspects of the whole person. And by doing this in small steps every day in every way, we come together to community, family, and individual wellness. And that's what we're talking about in through this program. So this is now the third line, you remember, on our little hypothesis there. This is about the program itself and combining the community aspect and then the individual aspect, and that's what's indicated here by the photograph of the gentleman on the gym equipment, bringing you to wellness. This is not meant to indicate that the way you get to wellness is just through physical activity. It's not that easy. Gosh darn it. I wish. So, no, in fact, there are seven different components. Certainly physical activity is one of them, but with the core elements for the Life Enhancement Program, we are interested in ensuring that the curriculum, as well as the evaluation that we're going to discuss, touches on all these seven different core elements. And one that we haven't talked about yet, but is key to the program and its outcomes and its sustainability, are the social support and follow-up. So certainly the group dynamic aspect of this program, which is always conducted in a group setting. There are didactic and experiential setting or sessions, but it is very much about people making that connection and creating that social cohesion with one another. The photograph there is showing a couple of our nutritionists from the South Tucson program who are not in the room by themselves. They're in a room with about 20 participants, and they're up there cooking, and everybody's going to eat together. Our partners, as Margie mentioned, are in four sites around the country so far, and they're all established healthcare organizations. They're working with very low income and, in some cases, impoverished populations. All of the participants in the program come from those patient communities who are at a very high risk for chronic disease. They are special sort of healthcare organizations in that they have a deep and abiding connection to their communities. And they show that not only because of the length of time that they've been in the community, but the way that they interact with the community. Just to sort of boil it down, they're not simply providing clinical services. Somebody comes in and has a visit with a healthcare professional and leaves. That's not the kind of places these are. These are places that are connected through all sorts of different activities and outreach into the community. And so then here is our map with the stars showing the different locations of where we are currently working with the communities and the health centers in four different sites. And we are in the process of expanding very quickly over the next few months. So Chuck, I think you're up.
Morning again, everybody. I'm Chuck Palm, and I coordinate the Life Enhancement Program that we have going on here. And I think what's something that's really important to note, and I'm sure that Jennifer mentioned it, but I can't remember that she did, is that part of the mission of Canyon Ranch Institute is to work to improve the lives of underserved populations around the country, and that's the only population that we're working with. And so this program is aimed at underserved populations. And the way that we do this is we partner up with partners, these health care center type partners in these four locations. And we help them through training, technical assistance, information, and programming to create a core team that actually does the work on site. So they're working with their own patient population that they're recruiting through and from. And they create a core team that includes experts in integrative medicine, in nutrition, spirituality, exercise, behavioral health, pharmacology, and that sort of thing. All of these teams have to be culturally and linguistically appropriate, and almost certainly they are because of the type of partner that we're working with. So if you're working in the South Bronx with their population of the urban health plan, you're certainly going to have staff that already reflects the local population of folks who are from the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or something like that. We do have members of each of these teams coming to Canyon Ranch in Tucson, spending a week at the Life Enhancement Center there, and then we do a 3 or 4 day on-site training with them. The participants are recruited, like I mentioned, from the patient populations of these partner sites that we're working with. The patients generally have high risk for chronic disease or may even be in a chronic disease state already. They're from low income, traditionally underserved populations, and are different from site to site, and we're going to talk a lot more about that. This is the way that this intervention works is this way. And some of these parts are going to sound familiar, and then I'm going to highlight a couple of unique components. It's 12 group sessions. So far, pretty standard, right? Group sessions, people get together, they do things. Well, the kinds of things that they're doing here are, in group, they're doing standard workshops of information. They're also getting food demonstrations on a regular basis. They conduct together a facilitated, guided grocery store visit to a local grocery store as a way to help improve their literacy within that venue. A lot of folks, not surprisingly, don't know a lot about food, how to shop for it, how to cook it, how to distinguish one thing from another successfully. Then there's also exercise. Generally, folks are getting at least 3 months of free membership at a gym or some other health center, a wellness center nearby, so that at least during the program period, they're able to exercise even in between sessions and that sort of thing. And we do encourage that they maintain that sort of process afterwards. And I'm going to describe the participant assessments a little bit more detail in a second. The thing I want to highlight on this slide, though, are the one-on-one consultations. Every participant is provided 4 one-hour one-on-one consultations with an expert in integrative health, behavioral health, nutrition, and exercise. In our Tucson site, they also have one-on-ones with a pharmacy specialist, these are PharmDs, and also with a spirituality professional. And for many people, getting 1 hour of one-on-one with a medical professional is an entire year's worth of one-on-one time with the medical professional. Just think back to your own experiences over the last year with your doctor or nurse practitioner. In this case, we're often quadrupling on average, the national average. The evaluation component is conducted at 4 time points, pre, post, at plus 3 months post, and then post plus another 12 months. What we're going to do is give you some results from the pre and the post. We don't have all of the plus 12 months analyzed yet. In this, there's a pretty significant amount of testing that's going on with individuals, and the survey is extensive. The key to the data on the patients is that as soon as the data results are available, it goes right back to the patient for them to use in baseline for themselves and for each of the specialists to help with plan development for them using their own information. You would think, given the 4 different communities we're working in, that we would have a lot of different types of results potentially out of this. Right now, we're going to be able to show you results from 2 different sites, one from the South Bronx and one from, you described it, Margie, as Milan. No. It's Missouri. It's Milan, Missouri.
Yeah, Milan.
So,
everybody says
Milan. So, it's just like it's not Paris, Texas. I'm just telling you that right now. In the South Bronx, it's highly urbanized. The L runs right in front of the clinic that they're working with. The sessions are all conducted in Spanish. In Milan, they're all conducted in English. It's almost exclusively a Caucasian group. It's slightly older participants there. So here are some of the results. We've broken them into three different categories. The first highlighted category you can see highlighted towards the bottom of the slide are some of the physical results in the South Bronx. This includes, I think, results from about four sites. Is that correct? You can see, like, C-reactive protein, if you're not really into this sort of stuff, it's a marker for inflammation in the blood. There's good results with C-reactive protein, cholesterol, blood pressure, even strength measurements that are done with push-ups and balance and things like that. We're only showing statistically significant results, and we've selected from those as well. The second category of results you can see here are are behavior changes and attitude changes. And you can tell that on average with these folks, they're increasing their moderate exercise per week, they're increasing their health knowledge, they're improving their getting enough sleep by over 60%. They're swapping out drinking soda for drinking water to a pretty good degree. And they're generally making good life changes on average that you would hope would happen as a result of an intensive program like this. And then finally, the set of results that really were pleasing to us and were able to show some pretty significant changes are in the measures of depression, stress, and other kinds of self-efficacy and feeling good. The PHQ-9 depression scales went down over 50%, as well as that the top number there is among people who were of the highest, how do I describe that? They had the highest PHQ-9 scores going in, and they experienced the greatest degree of change by the end of the program. Folks were able to improve the days that they felt physically and mentally able to do things. And they improved the number of days that they could do things. In Missouri, you'll see, I'm going to show the same categories of changes. They also had similar, though not the same results, changes in blood work and some other measures. They had changes as well in a sense of self-efficacy and their knowledge and how much they were exercising per week. Strenuous exercise per week for these folks went up 248%. Which you would say, well, great, you start from very small, then you almost anything will pop that up. But that's actually what's happening. People are starting from zero to very little exercise or physical activity, and all of a sudden they find themselves able to and willing to do a lot more. And we're of the belief that a lot of these changes in what they're doing and how they're feeling about doing them comes from their changes in their mental health status and their feelings of stress and self-efficacy. They're becoming more and more resilient as they go along in this program, and some of the initial results we've seen from the 12-month follow-ups are showing that in many cases the sense of self-efficacy is improving among many of the participants over that 12-month period, and in part because of what Jennifer was talking about earlier, which was the support, group support and that sort of thing, that and this esprit de corps that is built during the program. I wanted to show you a little side by side to show you that results are similar or of the same type, although not exactly the same from site to site. We have two more sites that we're going to be looking at pretty soon to start really making a bigger comparison. And you can see that the significant changes, really large changes in the depression scales among all of the participants. Certainly they're not all depressed. But using the PHQ-9, we can determine changes in this scale. And you can see also changes in stress. Why stress went down more in the South Bronx versus central Missouri We can only speculate. But I got to tell you, to get to Milan, you travel through progressively smaller and smaller roads until you end up in this bucolic place that's green and it's got farmland and tractors and that sort of thing. People in great need there because it's very rural, but definitely a different kind of place than when you take the L to the urban health plan in the South Bronx, I'm sure. So, and you can also see changes in days of mentally and physically healthy. So what do we believe worked? Jennifer mentioned that our hypothesis was that if you take health literacy and you take the best practices of integrative health and you kind of merge them together in a community setting, that you're likely to have changes not just in physical health but also in mental health. And we believe that this program is showing that you can do that. This isn't the only way to do that, but we believe this is an effective way because of the health literacy bent and because of the integrative health bent. This is a whole person concept that we're using here. We believe that people working to develop group cohesion and support, in addition to working on their individual changes, using their own data and working on things that they themselves need to do, is what really works in this program. As a result, we're showing really strong changes in depression, stress, self-efficacy, and a large number of other things. There was a cast of thousands to help us put this together, and we thought we'd list every single one of them. These are all really important folks to us. And if you have any questions, we'll be glad to take them at the end. So thank you very much.